Hello, good morning. This is Kayleen Welsh, and I am here for this edition of Conversations on WDRT Radio. My guest this week is my friend, and I'm going to call you the director, but you can correct me if that's a different word that should be used. But Virginia is the director of the Women and Spirituality Conference that is held in Rochester. Now, this is an event with a very long history. It goes back a number of years. In fact, I understand this to be the 39th annual. So, Virginia, it's really nice that you came to talk to us about that because I think it's a great event.
Thank you, Kayleen. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah, the Women's Spirituality Conference is in its 39th year. It started in 1981 in Mankato, Minnesota. And it was started by a group of women from the local church who partnered with the Women's Studies Department at Mankato State University. They got together and decided that they wanted to learn more about religions of the world and other spiritual traditions, and so they put on the first conference. The woman that first started it, her name is Mary Jo Meadows, and she was involved with the conference for many years. She told me the story, and it was really fascinating. She said they had the idea, and they got the auditorium, and they put some chairs up and thought, oh, you know, maybe 20, 30 women will come. Well, 75 women came.
Wow.
For the first, and it was just a lecture the first time. Then they started, they expanded it, and over the years, thousands, literally thousands of women have come.
Does that speak to even women's hunger for spirituality or for a venue for this kind of place? I mean, I was thinking about 39 years ago, what was the voice for women in spirituality or religion? I mean, I think it was often nuns or sisters. That's probably when some of those university programs for women were just getting started, I'm thinking back. So I just think it's a great thing that this did start so long ago and gave women at the time a voice. It seems like it brought a voice for different healing modalities and different ideas around spirituality that maybe, as I've looked at the program over the years, that brings us to a different sense of spirituality, including traditional religion, but beyond traditional religion. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's really great to have you here and to know that this conference is coming up again. I'm glad that those people back there got started and got us women together. And I know, just to speak for the local audience, that there has been many people from the area here that have participated in the conference over the years. You know, it is held now in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up at the end of the month, so it's September 23rd and 24th. It's a Saturday and Sunday. And we'll talk about the program and stuff a little bit more as we go on here. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, like, is there like a mission statement that has gone along with this organization as they've been, you know, as they tried to create this voice for women? What's the goal?
You know, that's a really good topic to talk about, because through the years, things have really evolved and they've really changed. In the beginning, it was more of an exploration of, through the women in the churches, they wanted to learn more about, like I say, spirituality and the religions of the world and other spiritual traditions. And so at that time, we didn't have what we call now like the New Age movement, hadn't really started. There's been a resurgence in paganism and pagan traditions, and that hadn't really started. So it was really predated all of that. And women were just looking for, I think, more of an internal personal connection with their own spirituality rather than seeking more of a, you know, going through the church, which seemed at the time to be more patriarchal and a really different way to go about discovering your own connection with your own higher self and your own guidance. And so that kind of started the conversation. Through the years, they've had some fascinating keynote speakers, including Shakti Gawain and Starhawk, Mary Daly, who is one of the founding women of the feminist movement, Marge Piercy, and Dr. Vandana Shiva, who, you know, we all know now is a very world-renowned environmental speaker. So we've had such a great lineage of keynote speakers through the years, and I think it kind of speaks to how the spirituality movement for women has evolved since the 80s. When I talked with Mary Jo, I've talked with her a few times about the conference. I started coordinating the conference co-led it in 2017 when it moved to Rochester, Minnesota, and 2018, and then took it over myself on 2019 with a very good core, strong community of other local women. Through the years, as I said, you know, I've talked to Mary Jo a few times about this, and she has brought up the point that in the beginning, like I said, it was the church women that were with the Women's Studies Department. So the Women's Studies Department at the time had a real strong feminist approach. They were looking at women's rights. They were looking at the lack of the Equal Rights Amendment. They were looking at, you know, the inequality of pay and things like that for women on a lot of fronts in a lot of areas of their lives. And so as the conference grew and evolved, what happened is that a lot of women that had more of a focus in these pagan traditions and Wiccan traditions and other earth-centered types of spirituality they found the conference and started coming. And then other women who were more goddess-centered found the conference and started coming. So the beauty of it is that it's all dependent on the presenters. Okay, so we put out a call proposals in the spring, and so we asked out to the community, okay, who wants to lead a workshop? What's on your mind right now? What's in your heart? What do you want to speak about or share that you think other women might find meaningful? And so we receive all these proposals, and then, you know, depending on space and things like that, we'll put together a program of a nice balance of what comes across the desk. So it's really dependent on what the women in the community want to present.
So what's fascinating about what you're saying is how it's really evolved over time. And in many ways, the conference itself reflects the changing pace and experiences of women in spirituality, and really reflects, I want to say, the direction they're moving. You know, we're moving where we want to go, and some of the interests and new ideas that are coming forth. So, and one of the things that's really intrigued me about the conference is all the topics. And, you know, there's such a great variety. It's got to be hard to even pick out from all of the proposals which is which.
Absolutely.
And I'm loving the fact that, I mean, I'm recalling, I think it was the first year that you were involved with the conference, which was 2018 then? Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, really, I think that's the year that I went for the first time. And that's where you and I met, which it was just such a weird experience in the first place, because there's, you know, this was at the Mayo Civic Center, so huge venue, a lot of people. I mean, there was a lot of people milling around, and I had gone with my sister. This is the first time I had gone. And so I'm walking through just kind of this main lobby, and I meet this woman walking with a couple other women, but we caught each other's eye and just kind of said, do I know you? And we didn't, but it was Virginia. And I realized at the end of the day, you know, they had this beautiful closing ceremony and introducing you as the director for next year or whatever. And I'm like, oh boy, I didn't know that's who I ran into. That was rather fun. But it's a great event. And, you know, and I ended up doing a presentation the next year too, which is a great opportunity for those of us that do want to, like, bring our voice to the spiritual world. Even thinking about defining spiritual, I mean, it's kind of wide open. To me, it's life. It's a bigger life.
Well, that's a unique thing about the conference, because we don't really try to define it, because you can't define it. It's personal for every woman. My journey with the conference actually started in the mid-1980s, where I had heard about it, and for me, it became an annual fall retreat time. It was a sojourn from wherever I was living to go to Mankato and meet this ever-evolving tribe of women that I knew I was aligned with. These were my sisters. And it's the same way when we met, Kayleen. I knew it. I was like, this woman is a sister. So,
well, and this is, I mean, what a great idea to kind of think about this as a renewing fall event. You know, often we do look for some kind of opportunities to recharge and revitalize our sense of spirituality. One of the things that I think about for women in spirituality is women's lives are very busy. It's not always easy to take the space and make the space. So I love that idea of just kind of creating this fall retreat, that this becomes a regular piece of your fall experience.
Exactly.
That's really lovely.
Well, and that being said, one of the things we've done this year, and that is coming out of the pandemic times. Now, we had our conference in 2019. It was very successful and really well attended. We were at the Mayo Civic Center, which proved to be very big and a little bit sterile. We didn't have access to an outside area, things like that. There were some issues. So we took a three-year break during COVID and didn't have any conference until this year. We're coming back. And now, because of all the change in technology and Zoom and everything being online, we have integrated an online option for women. So you can enjoy the conference from wherever you are. And then we're also including all the recordings. Now, not all the workshops will be recorded. Some of the material is very sensitive. We want women to have an opportunity in a workshop if they're diving into some more vulnerable topics, some more sensitive issues. We want people to feel safe, that we're creating a sacred space. We're creating a safe space. So we can dive into those emotions and all of the traumas that we may have had that limit us and help us get closer to the core of who we really are and really what's the work we're born to do. So the online option will be great. And that being said, having the recordings means you'll be able to have the whole winter to dive into all the workshops and to take your time to explore all the material that's included with the registration.
Oh, wow. And that's a ton of material. I mean, that's a lot of classes, a lot of information that people could, what a great idea, sit back for the winter and, you know, go through this whole series of information workshops.
Yep. We're going to have really a 30 different workshops this year.
That's a lot.
Yeah. You can find out more on our website. It's womenandspirituality.org.
Okay.
And we have a Facebook page, too. There's a lot of information there.
Well, and probably even registration information and all of that kind of stuff is out there. And again, we'll just repeat that the conference is the 23rd and 24th of September here. So it's coming up, you know, within a few weeks. And so are you getting a good response with registrations?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. The women are so excited. Everyone is so excited. They've been waiting.
It would seem almost kind of like you talked about the fall retreat thing, or, you know, how you kind of take that space in the fall. But I bet there are women that come every year, that have come every year, and that come with their girlfriends or come with their women friends and find a place to stay and hang out in Rochester for the weekend. And
they bring their daughters, and now their daughters are coming and bringing their daughters. And
That's a beautiful tradition to think about.
Yeah.
Really wonderful. Okay. I guess talk a little bit, if you would, about the COVID shutdown, you know, because that had to kind of throw a wrench in things for a while.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a really interesting story about that. Like I say, I co-led the conference with Terry Allred in 2017 and 2018, and Terry had decided it was a lot for her, so she stepped back. And so in 2019, I coordinated everything with our committees. And 2019 was very successful. It was just a really beautiful, beautiful event. Lots of women came. I think our end attendance was somewhere in the 450 range, which was really good for, you know, how things had been. And especially transitioning to a new town and a new location and everything. So 2019 was great. And so it ended in the fall, and I took some time off. And then around January, I thought, okay, all right, we better start thinking about the conference for 2020. And so I thought, well, 2020, gosh, that's got to be the year of vision. because, you know, 2020 vision. I said, well, this is going to write itself. This is just easy. It will make it all about visioning. And so I was kind of sitting with that idea and spending some time in meditation and really calling on the guidance that oversees the conference, because I do feel that there is a very powerful spirit, a powerful energy that is directing the conference and this gathering, and that I'm just part of the flow of that. So in leading up to 2019, the guidance had been very clear, and I and another group of women had spent a lot of time actually doing journey work and journeying and visioning and creating this sacred space, creating this energetic crystalline form that would create the safety for this sacred work to take place. And so 2020, time to plan. And so I'm sitting in meditation and I'm saying, all right, show me what I need. Tell me what I need to hear. Show me what I need to see about 2020. And it was as if this wall of silence came down and there was nothing. And I was like, wow, okay, this is weird. All right. It wasn't scary, but it was just odd. And I thought, all right, well, not time to think about things. Well, it wasn't any more than a week or two later that I worked as a nurse at the time. I worked in an assisted living, and all of a sudden we're hearing from the governor that, oh, there's something going on here. The CDC and all the health department and the directives were, we've got this little virus, and, you know, we might have to wear masks for a little while, and, you know, don't worry about it, no big deal. And I said, okay, all right, so we'll just wait and see what happens. Well, it was not long after that. Again, I'm sitting in meditation. I'm sitting in a receptive position and saying, all right, what are we going to do for the conference for 2020? And I heard clear as a bell, don't even think about it until 2023. I was like, what? So that's exactly what happened. Don't even think about it till 2023. So we've had, 3 years where it just hasn't been safe together.
Yeah.
And so I believe we're out of the woods now. We do have a great COVID policy in place. We've got a really great team. We've got medical director, Dr. Lisa Van Gertsen, who's from the Hermitage Farm Center for Healing. They are operating the Healing Circle this year at the conference, and she's helped write the policy for our COVID protection. So, if COVID comes back again, we have to cancel, well, we'll have to cancel, but we have the online option in place. So we've talked through a number of different scenarios, and we feel pretty safe about it.
I love a couple of things that you said. One, particularly the connecting with the overarching energy of the conference. It does feel like the years of women that have contributed to this conference have left kind of an energetic framework in some ways that you're allowed to work through. And that's a great story about, COVID and the don't even think about it until 2023. Because to me, again, that taps into one of the divine feminine qualities that we have discounted so much in our world, but intuition. Mm. They're available for all of us to access and to utilize. And so the attention to feminine qualities and really engaging with that intuition and honoring that is a really important piece. And it sounds like also that you are finding some great support people in your community to help guide this. That can tap into that overarching energy and yet at the same time bring it down into practical form for us. Because we do need, how are we going to do some of these things? We're maneuvering a new world as we're trying to figure out how do we move forward as this conference reemerges again. So what a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, thank you.
I was looking on your website, and there's kind of a statement there about the purpose of the Women in Spirituality Conference as far as how it has supported women to bring forth their stories. And again, we can talk about this maybe even as we look at the list of programs. But one of the things that really strikes me about that is the opportunity for women to speak. Do we have many opportunities for women to speak about spirituality? I guess we're becoming more so. And as you talked about your keynote speakers, certainly there's some brilliant names there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think one of the most profound things, and this was my experience when I first started going to the conference, the site in Mankato was enormous. They had an unlimited number of classrooms. So basically anyone that had a proposal or had an idea for a workshop submitted the proposal. I don't think they ever turned anyone away, honestly. And so what you had is you had this amazing selection of opportunities to study, you know, listening to your spirit guides. You could do shamanic drum journeys. You could learn about crystals and you could learn about tarot cards and how to do a reading. And what we had is women that were in the early stages of becoming leaders. In learning how to be a leader, learning how to be a presenter, learning how to be a teacher, and also how to do that in a way that embodies their own inner voice. Like you say, that the feminine intuition, that still small voice within. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to help and make a platform for women to develop that within themselves, whether they're as a presenter or an attendee, or they're in the vendor hall. Now, this year we have an amazing assortment of vendors who are there, and many of them are they're practitioners of Qigong and Reiki healing and psychic readers. You can get your aura photographed. There's every day more and more. Like, there's one of our sponsors is Zenith High. It's run by Mary Neustrom, and she runs a shamanic training program. And she travels to Peru and works with the authentic Indian tribes there. And so she's very well connected. She's not just, you know, saying I'm a shaman from nowhere. I mean, she has the lineage. And she's been running a program for many years. We're going to have a group of three or four of her fourth year students that are going to be there this year too, and they're all going to be providing different types of readings, and we're very excited about
it. Yeah, there's so many different aspects to the program, and before we take a little break here, also just want to, what I love about what you're saying is how it has given women a voice, developing their leadership skills, but I can't help but think also about the fact that these are topics, a lot of them that, if we would think back how many years ago women were killed for or hung for or burned at the stake for or something like that. So just the fact that we are able to speak about some of these topics and bring them forth in a new way is really remarkable to me. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so. Thank you for bringing that up. We will have a workshop this year, too, with, Christy DeChateau is going to offer a workshop on ancestral lineage healing.
Oh, I saw that, and there's one on, how did she pronounce that too? Matrilineal, that's the word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that's very interesting too, mm-hmm. what we pass down epigenetically. But I guess right now we need to take a little station break. So I just want to remind all of our listeners that this is Kayleen Welsh, and I'm speaking with Virginia Cooper. We are talking about the Women and Spirituality Conference, which is going to be held in Rochester, Minnesota, at the end of the month here. So, well, not quite the end, September 23rd and 24th. So we've got lots to talk about the programs that they offer and different things that are going on. So, Virginia, I guess let's just continue. Let's talk a little bit about your keynote speaker for this year. You earlier in the program shared some of the names that have come through. You know, Shakti mm-hmm. Gawain was an amazing teacher. I mean, I think of her influence on the world today is pretty remarkable. So, I mean, this year, who's the keynote?
This year, we could not be more excited to have Dr. Sharon Blackie. She is going to be presenting live from the UK. She's an author and a very well-known speaker. Her most notable book is called If Women Rose Rooted. It's a journey to authenticity. And her latest, well, she's written many books. Also, she's written a book called Hagitude, which is about navigating the challenges of the second half of your life. And her work really is inspired by the myths and stories of the Celtic tradition. And she weaves that together, the myths and the stories, with our own psychological journey. She's just a fascinating, fascinating speaker, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have her.
I read her book, If Women Rose Rooted, and was really struck. There's some beautiful stories in there of her own experiences in her own life, and mixed in that is some really wonderful ideas about what the world could look like if women were able to step into a place of equality with masculine energy. And I'm not talking gender here as much as I am talking about masculine and feminine principles. You know, we've just really gotten so out of balance. But so her book is really fabulous on helping, I guess, helped me as a woman really recognize the importance of connection, how we do support each other. One of the things that I really came to understand from her is how we heal together. Women really heal through talking and connection that way. One of the things that she talks about, and some of the other material too that I've been reading, talks about a difference in approach for women in spirituality than men. And as I was understanding that, again, it reflects back more to masculine feminine energy, that men are like forward driven, and you know, you almost can think of their spiritual approach as through a ladder. So they're going upward. They're almost kind of forward movement. It's directed. It's step by step. It's very logical. It's like they kind of have to achieve one level before they get to the next. Conversely, they talked about women's spirituality as being a circle, that we gather in circle, that we share stories, that we share life experiences, and that women have a just different approach to spirituality, which to me is another interesting reason why it's important to have opportunities for women in spirituality. Mm-hmm. So many of our traditions are based more on this masculine approach or this mass divine mm-hmm. yan approach.
Yeah. The other thing that's really, I think, essential with Dr. Blackie's work is her relationship with the land. And she writes about that quite a bit in her weaving together the old stories and the old myths with our own archetypal needs. And she writes about our relationship with the land as being essential for really coming home to ourselves. And I believe also that that is very much essential for this time of earth changes, where we're seeing the planet is changing. And we're seeing that the planet is changing in relationship to all of humanity occupying the planet and overuse of raw materials and overuse of resources. So she talks a lot about something that she calls the wasteland, which I think is really an important concept, because the wasteland, when I think of the wasteland, I think of, you know, maybe I'm in like a parking lot of an abandoned store, and the grass is growing up through the cracks, and things are abandoned, man-made machines, you know, that now is just unused, rusting, decrepit, but yet still the green pokes through the cracks, and that the wasteland is not only these empty places that we have come into the planet, cut down the trees, you know, shoved out the animals, paved it over for our uses, and then abandoned it, so now it's, you know, nothing left. But that it also reflects an inner state that we have, an inner place that we can realize that is the place where spirit doesn't live, where we're disconnected, and that within that wasteland within ourselves is where we need revitalizing, and that we do that revitalizing and reconnecting by immersing ourselves in the land.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Virginia. That's her work is very important around our reconnection with the earth, and I do think that is a big task for humans today. Mm-hmm. How do we reengage with care? and that your exploring of that idea of the wasteland. It is. I think of I don't know, La Crosse, the empty Kmart parking lot. I don't know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you see these empty buildings, these huge monstrosities of the malls or whatever that we've been abandoning, or the places where the land has just been stripped. So there is that wasteland, and we do have to figure out how we are going to, like, heal so much of what we've done on the planet here.
Exactly.
And yet to do that, we have to explore our own wasteland, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only way to get there.
Absolutely. And we have to look at our own, our family lineage and our own history and who we are. Where did we come from? And how, you know, how were we raised? Were we raised? You know, I was fortunate enough in my family, we went camping a lot and we spent a lot of time in nature. And I think a lot of people today, they're you know, we're in our cars, in our air conditioning, we're in our houses, and we're just isolated from the land. And the land is the mother. That is the Mother Earth. And so there's a lot in, you know, the goddess traditions that talk about Mother Earth as the ultimate. She is the ultimate goddess, and that we have to know her and we have to revere her. And with that, it means that we're living lightly on the earth and that we're respecting the gifts that are given to us and cultivating gratitude.
There's a quote that I wish I could remember off the top of my head a little better, but it talks so much about this idea of, until women are able to heal and find themselves in a place of polarity, equal polarity with masculine energy, mm-hmm. we can't. It's almost like we have to embrace a feminine aspect of God to have that. Otherwise, we're going to continue to be off balance as a society, as a world, as a culture.
Yep.
There is a quote that I had written down out of Sharon Blackie's book that I think fits very much what you're talking about, about our task and the wasteland. So I'll share that. What she said was, "We must each begin to decide how, using our own unique gifts, we can work to restore the fertile feminine principle to the world, to reclaim our lost power, and so take responsibility for the healing of this wasteland, to speak for the earth itself." So to take that personal responsibility to heal our own wasteland, and as you said, I mean, I think we're in a great time for ancestral healing. I mean, I think we've come to a point in our own evolution or something, survival, we're surviving enough that we can address some of these old patterns and stuff a little bit more. We are also understanding it through epigenetics and new understandings of science and how things get passed on genetically, that unfinished emotions and such are stored in the body, and they do show up. They're reflected in the way that we interact with each other, the way we live our lives, the way we think about ourselves and our own potential, how we limit ourselves. Mm-hmm. So healing our own wasteland is a really important task. And it would be just, I don't know, I personally love the whole idea of embracing a new earth. You know, what does that look like? You know, or can we create a beautiful garden? Mm-hmm. I think we can. And so I'm grateful that we have opportunities, even like the Women in Spirituality Conference, and places that can inspire us and remind us of who we are on a grander scale, on a bigger level.
Exactly. And I think the overarching goal of the conference, in my opinion, is healing. It's healing, no matter what that means for each woman that comes to the conference. It's all about reconnecting with your intuition, connecting more strongly with your, whether you believe in angels or spirit guides or divine self or, you know, whatever that means to you. It's about accessing that and accessing the wisdom that we carry. Because along with the trauma that we may have inherited from our own blood lineage, from our families and whatever traumas they may have gone through, and you yourself, we're also each given wisdom. We're wisdom carriers. And so it's accessing that as well.
That makes a lot of sense. We are not just wounded.
Exactly.
No, we are. We have a lot. And it's easy to focus on that part, right? It's easy to focus on the things that are wrong with us. And yet I think one of the one of the gifts or one of the things I like to offer with my work is, where do we find our strengths?
Exactly.
And so you're right. You know, we have gifts that have come through that same lineage. I think of the grandmother wisdom that, you know, we have all experienced the depth of love. Mm-hmm. And so how do we honor that as much as we honor the wounding or look at and heal the wounding?
Exactly. Carolyn Mace is a wonderful author, and she's written quite a bit about what she calls woundology, that we become the walking wounded. When you meet somebody and you say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and then they launch into, you know, here's my diseases and here's my history and this is my tragic story, like in the first paragraph, that's woundology. So it's like no. That may be your experience, but it's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that of who we really are is essential. Because that's how we do our best work in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for all of us to step up and do our best work in the world.
I think so much about even the law of physics that says what we focus on expands. And so, if we're focused on all the things that are wrong, that's what we're going to see more and more of. That's what we're going to draw to us energetically. And when I work with clients, one of the things we do every session to start out is, let's look for something good. You know, what are you proud of? What's something that you've done that you feel good about?
Mm-hmm.
And so let's, again, allowing the Women in Spirituality Conference, allowing us all to step forward as women and to honor our own unique gifts.
Mm-hmm.
We all have them. What are they? And to me, this ties back even to the beginning, the origins of the conference is this opportunity for women to present. Women to step forward and say, hey, this is what I can do, or this is what I know, or this is what I've learned, this is what I would like to share.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm, again, valuing the fact that there are so many people that do show up to present. It seems like the conference grows a bit every year. I know that this year, again, you're on to a new facility,
mm-hmm.
a new location.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah, we were at the Mayo Civic Center for a few years, and as I said, it was a very sterile chrome and glass type of environment. It didn't have really good access to the outside. So the facility we're going to be at this year, we're trying something new. It's the St. Mary's campus. It's their Cascade Meadows Environmental Center. It's part of the University of Minnesota. It's located right in Rochester off of 19th Street. And it has a wonderful access to this beautiful wetlands with a pond and trails. And every session, we will have one workshop that will be held outside.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And all of those workshops are all about cultivating that relationship with the land. One of the presenters is Leah Horton, who comes from Finlayson, Minnesota, and she's going to talk about forest. Well, this is kind of a funny story. She put her proposal in, and she said that she wants to present about forest bathing. And then everything else she read about, immersing with the land and listening to the nature, I mean, it was perfect. So I wrote her an email, and I said, well, Leah, you need to know. I said, this is Minnesota prairie. There's no trees here. This is a wetlands. So she changed it to prairie and forest bathing. Because
uh-huh.
It's a technique that you can learn to use whether you're in a forest, like Finlayson, where she comes from, where it's the beautiful pine trees. She runs a retreat center up north there. And we're very happy to have her.
Well, that's nice. And that sounds like, yes, a skill that or a training that people can take and use. Certainly around here, lots of places as we live amongst the trees. And that whole idea of getting outside for some of the workshops just feels very relevant, too, as we really focus on reclaiming the earth
mm-hmm.
and aligning with things like, the Schumann resonance and that we know help ground us and kind of help keep us on a solid, steady place. That's a great opportunity. Let's take a little break again for our station identification, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the programs and some of the offerings and such this year. So I would just like to remind everyone, this is Kayleen Welsh, and I am here on WDRT Radio, and I'm speaking with Virginia Cooper. We're talking about the Women in Spirituality Conference to be held in Rochester later this month, September 23rd and 24th. We hope that you're able to tune in to our program this morning, and we appreciate you being here. And if you have to leave or you miss part of it and want to come back and listen again, The show will be in the archives on WDRT.org, so feel free to come back and check in again. So, Virginia, let's go on and talk a little bit more about some of the programs and some of the things to expect this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, we'll have a vendor hall, and the vendor hall, we've got about 30 to 40 vendors that will have not only beautiful items and jewelry and crystals and tarot cards and wands and things for sale, but we'll also have a lot of people ready to do mini healings and readings. We have a healing circle, as I said, with the Hermitage Farm Center for Healing.
Before we go into that, I just want to make a comment about the vendors, because I got to say that I think some of my favorite clothing items have come from the Women in Spirituality Conference. I mean, again, it's kind of an opportunity to get some unique items that we don't typically maybe find in our, you know, department stores or something. And so I really, there's a few things in my closet that are my favorites from purchasing there.
We don't have any clothing people this year.
Oh, dang. All right. Well, that's, I'm sure there'll still be lots of other fun stuff.
Exactly. Julie Kusha Watts, who is a well-known writer and creator of tarot card decks, is going to be presenting on Egyptian astrology and real sky astrology. She's just finished writing a book, so she's going to present on that, and then she'll be available in the vendor hall. We've got a couple authors there. One is Barbara Corte, whose book is called Memoirs of a Misfit Mystic, is the title of her book, and she's going to present. Vicki Bush, who's also an author, will be presenting on signs and synchronicities. So, and as I said, downstairs we'll have the Healing Circle with the Hermitage Farm Center for Healing. They're one of our sponsors this year, and they will have practitioners there, including several really fascinating healers. So the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that we are going to open up the vendor area to the public Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5. So if you want to just come and sort of dip your toe in the pond and maybe not buy the whole conference ticket, but just experience the energy and check it out, you can come between 1 and 5 and just go to the vendor hall.
Oh, that's a nice option, too. Mm-hmm. It gives people a chance just to kind of check things out a little bit and get a sense of the place.
Right, and that's free. And then the online ticket, which will be available up until the day of the conference and maybe possibly available for purchase after the conference is over, that is $69. And for that, you'll receive live streaming access during the conference of all the workshops, the keynote speech, and then you'll have all the recordings. Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, you're at session one and there's five choices and you're sitting at home with your computer. You can access, maybe you want to go to workshop number one and maybe you're in there for a little while and this isn't quite for me. Well, then you can hop out of that online room and you can go to any other workshops. Or maybe there's two at the same time and you want to experience both of them. Well, you sit in one room and then you have the recording of the other one for later.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of opportunities then to access that information.
Exactly.
So the live stream will be airing as people are presenting. So you would tune in for the live stream then. And if for some reason you're not able to attend any of that, you could still, with this ticket, have access to the recordings of all of these different workshops.
Exactly. Wow. This is a real big, a new step for us. It's a new frontier of the online. But when we found the facility and we toured the facility and we're thinking about having the conference there, we saw that all the classrooms are already outfitted with cameras and microphones and computers. And so it was sort of a no-brainer to say, hey, let's utilize this equipment and put the conference online.
Well, welcome to, I hate the word new age, but I mean, here we are with the technology,
welcome to
right?
the future.
Yeah, you know, this is the, you know, I don't know, are we in the age of Aquarius? But, you know, we do have, we're definitely going through a lot of change, and technology is one of them. And so what I love about that, too, is the opportunity to use that technology as a, in a service. You know, we're able to use that as a tool. It's not something, I mean, and that's what I want to see us do with this technology as we move forward with all that comes forward.
So the in-person ticket is $147. That's for the 2 days. And that includes also, we haven't talked about this yet, that in order to create the container for sacred space to do this, this very, very intimate work, we will have an opening celebration, an opening ceremony, and that is with Nancy Antonucci. And she's also a local author who's written about a book called Psychic Tarot. And I think she's got another book coming out soon. And she'll be presenting a workshop on called The Journey Through the Tarot, where she's going to journey through the major arcana cards. And then she will be available in the vendor hall for readings too. But she's going to be our ceremonial leader and do an opening ceremony. And then we'll have the keynote speech, which will be about an hour long. And then we'll have a break for lunch. We do have a really nice catered lunch from Forager Cafe.
I was looking at the menu online, and it looks really delicious. Yeah. I mean, there's really some good, healthy, just nice options.
Yeah, thank you. And then in the afternoon on Saturday after lunch, we'll have two different workshops, one from 12:30 to 2, and then one from 3 to 4. I'm sorry, 3 to 4:30. So the workshops are, it's a some deep dive content. It's an hour and a half long. So a lot of the workshop kind of operate in the same way where you'll have a little bit of an introduction by the presenter about themselves. Then they'll dive into the body of the work. And then there's oftentimes a good time for sharing where women can really take a time to explore how the work that just got presented is meaningful for them. And to share their experience. And then on Sunday, we have three different workshop sessions on Sunday. We'll have lunch again, and then we'll have a closing ceremony from 4:15 to 4:45 on Sunday, again with Nancy Antonucci.
It sounds like there's just so many things going on, and I mean, that's been my experience of being there. It was hard for me to even choose what workshops to go to because I was so intrigued by so many of the opportunities to learn. I appreciate the hour and a half time frame because I think sometimes 45 minutes goes by just a little too quickly. That's where a lot of, you know, things like this are, or 45 minutes or so. And so the hour and a half allows things to go deeper, and I appreciate that. And I, you know, I was looking over the list of topics, and I just thought, geez, you know, what isn't here? You know, there's everything from, like you talked about, the forest bathing, forest therapy, nature therapy, family constellations, the matrilineal patterning. I mean, I just think that's such a huge topic for right now. Spirituality and mental illness. I mean, that's, again, relevant to our world in so many ways. There's drumming, astrology, stuff on crystals, you know, rocks, healing, a variety of healing modalities. You know, mandala. There was something about building, making a mandala. There's a labyrinth piece in there somewhere, working with different oracles like the tarot cards that you mentioned, magical monarchy, is that how we pronounce the word? But even understanding some of women's issues on a deeper level, what a great opportunity for women to explore and understand a little bit more about all of these pieces. And I am fascinated about the fact that so many of them would have been discounted at some point in our history. To me, the fact that we're talking and bringing forth these topics is just such an important part of the emergent divine feminine. And so, again, I just have to be real grateful. I'm very grateful for what you offer and the opportunities for women to come and learn and explore.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm really, I'm honored to be in the situation that I'm in. I'm holding space, and I'm holding the container and listening. Listening to the needs of the presenters and the attendees and the vendors and working with our committee. We have a great committee of women who everybody's taken a little piece of the puzzle. We'll also have concessions, so we'll have some snacks and coffee available downstairs in the lunchroom.
Well, and as you hold this container for us, Virginia, and you listen, you know, to the voices, I guess, is there anything that stands out for you as far as where are we moving? Is there something new that, you know, is this as the conference reflects women in spirituality and where we're currently at? Are you seeing anything that stands out or hearing anything?
Well, I think something that's really important, and I wasn't quite sure when I was thinking about our talk today, and I wasn't quite sure how to talk about this or even if we should talk about it, but I think the thing that these last 3 years have created as a challenge is how divided we appear to be on some levels, whether it's politically, whether it's our thoughts and our feelings about gender, or even what it is, who is a woman anymore.
Right.
So all of these things are kind of burning topics. And so the thing about the conference that I think is most important is that it's inclusive. It's an inclusive space. If you're drawn to go, come. Well, it's not exclusively just women-born women. There are some women in our group that would prefer that, and there are some women that would not prefer that. Our conference historically has not ever excluded anyone, and so we're not ever going to exclude anyone. There's always going to be a few men that are in the vendor hall, women's husbands that come and sit at the booth with them. There's trans-identified individuals. There's binary and non-binary. And it's just a beautiful amalgamation where it's my goal that everyone feels welcome.
I think what you're saying, too, is a reflection of this new age that we're moving into, in my humble opinion. It feels like there is no longer room for black and white, mm-hmm. clear-cut designations. Mm-hmm. Everything becomes an and. mm-hmm. There's room for an and. There's room for everyone and everything. And, mm-hmm. and yet, even like when we look at where we come from, we have a lot of languaging even around that is very separatist. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how all of that's going to get redefined or what new words we need to come up with or how this is going to look moving forward. Right. But I do see, too, that this is a reflection of society's change. Things are not so black and white anymore. Mm-hmm. Things are not so clear cut. And how do we open this up that is more inclusive? And mm-hmm. and so I appreciate the fact that that's something that you guys are conscious of as you look at this conference and the history of it's open to everyone. If mm-hmm. you're inclined to come, you know, come on over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's these are challenging times. Like I say, the political climate is still very divisive. When we had our feedback surveys after 2019, there was many women that said, don't get political. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean Republican, Democrat political? Or does that mean don't talk about women's rights? I think it's still an important thing to talk about that we still don't have a ratified Equal Rights Amendment for women.
That blew me away when I realized that. I mean, not too many months ago, I realized it's never been completely ratified. It's not even in place. I really appreciate, again, thinking back to the women that started this conference. Mm-hmm. I think at the time our focus was on looking more for equality for women in pay and jobs and opportunities and voice in so many different areas. And in some ways, looking for equality was not exactly what we should have been looking for. In fact, now it seems like now we have the opportunity to take it to a new level because in that effort to be equal, we've also been very masculinized.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so now our challenge is how do we bring forth the qualities of the divine feminine? Mm-hmm. Intuition, creativity, joy, beauty, pleasure, sexuality, sensuality, connection, acceptance, forgiveness, tolerance. I mean, there's so many beautiful qualities that feel like they've been totally dismissed. Play, mm-hmm. for example. I mean, I think often when we think about some of those things, we think silly or over-emotional or dramatic. I mean, we put negative terms on some of what are really actually feminine quality gifts. Mm-hmm. So making room, again, for some of these pieces exactly. and just opening up conversations is all such an important piece yeah. of all of this.
Yeah. Well, and all the old, the domineering colonial colonizer type of mentality, that's a patriarchy. And we just can't play that game. If we try to compete in that arena, we won't win.
Right.
Because, you know, it's all about domination. It's all about capitalizing. It's all about monetizing. And that's not how we need to live. That isn't the way we heal the world.
No.
We heal the world with cooperation and consideration and allowing. And honestly, it's really about taking the best of maybe what village lifestyle or tribal lifestyle was before the colonizers came and destroyed all the old ways. And we all carry lineage of that within us. So how do we step outside of that and find a new way to live?
Yeah, you know, looking at the history of mankind and womankind, you know, there's been challenges. And I certainly don't want to diss men in some ways, because I also believe as much as women have been silenced, men have been regulated or you know, kind of locked into certain patterns and things too. So now that's even a whole topic for another day. At the same time, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to open things up now, and we can look for the and. And where do we find both this blend of masculine and feminine energy, and what can that look like as we create a world moving forward?
Exactly.
So that thought, like, what is your hope? You know, what is your greatest hope for this event? Something in mind this year that you really are hoping to see, or what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, that's a hard question, because it's really up to the individual of, you know, people show up, I guess, and then develop that community that's whatever is their heart's desire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the real thing is that we find the work we were born to do, and we release everything that's in the way of us doing that. And if we find the work we're born to do, and enough of us do it, we can heal the society that we're in. You know, the mothers raise the children. We raise the girls and the boys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have two daughters and two sons, and I know that because I didn't know any better, I raised my sons to be traditional men. You know, when they learned competition and they learned all these different things through society and the way I may have treated my sons different than my daughters, I didn't know better. So if I was to do it now, and I'm a grandmother now, and we do our best until we know better, and then we know when we know better, we do better.
Right. This is the learning we do, and we are a reflection of our backgrounds, our cultural programming. I mean, we live as best we can within that, and hopefully continue to move forward, continue to grow and expand and learn more and become more and express more and find a different way of breaking out of some of those old patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I'm just really glad that you guys are out there doing this work, Virginia, and making a voice for women in spirituality. I think it's an important piece. And I'm also going to ask, you know, and maybe this is another hard question to answer, but thinking about the future. Any thoughts on where are we going as far as either women in spirituality or spirituality in general, or even with your conference? Do you have any thoughts on what you'd like to see the future bring?
Well, for the Women in Spirituality Conference, it is really directed by the community. The women that show up, that offer a proposal for a presentation, they're building this. You know, we can put out our intentions and we can have our thoughts and everything, but it's its own entity. It's its own being, and that being is created out of our community and out of our similar longings.
Our hearts,
exactly.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Virginia.
Yeah, thank you, Kayleen. It's a pleasure.